ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, and Caridia Shelby also joining us today. Caridia, welcome into the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We are efforting Luke Goody. I'm expecting his call any minute. We'll, in the meantime, buy some time as we have live radio. That's what we do. Caridia, your thoughts. Kyle and I have been talking the whole first hour. I know you got a chance to catch the Michigan game, Illinois and Purdue as well. Where do you think, we kind of left off giving our take on where this team is headed into postseason play. How do you feel about Illinois as it's about to be win or go home mode? What's your level of confidence, and what do you kind of make of a team that's played some wild, entertaining basketball, but also there's the frustrating nature of it as well?
So many thoughts. First, I don't think you all said double overtime enough. Following the matchup Thursday against Illinois versus Michigan. That was huge. And I think that speaks to their level of play, even that situation, that they do have the pieces. It's putting them together. It's it's figuring out the flow early and not late. I made a running list, and we'll see how far I can get down it before you all get bored. But related to the Purdue versus Illinois matchup, I think we do have to recognize that Purdue has some players show up that doesn't typically show up, such as Brandon Newman. Imagine Illinois practicing to defend Zach Edey. He gets in early trouble, which is honestly to Illinois' benefit. Mm-hmm. What better way to eliminate Zach Edey than to get him in foul trouble and sit him on the bench?
Yep.
Now, did Illinois plan for what happens after they eliminated Zach Edey? I don't think they planned for Brandon Newman to play 34 minutes and end the game with 19 points with those clutch threes. They were at Mackey, and to tie the game with a minute and 17 seconds left, huge. Okay, so I'm just trying to, you know, sprinkle some optimism in there.
We need that. We're too negative sometimes.
Yes, I've been waiting. So I did think Coleman played defense well against Zach. I was able to attend the matchup on Sunday, and someone behind me was like whispered to the person next to him, like, they're pulling the chair well. And I'm like, I paused. I'm like, wait, can you tell me what pulling the chair means? And so he told me, and I'm like, this makes perfect sense to play Zach, where if he's using his body to lean on you to get to the rim, give him no support, mm-hmm. you know, let him lose his balance. And it worked in our favor. He missed some baskets right under, or some shots right under the basket, which was huge. Guys, I could go on and on and on. Based off of that, though, I think Illinois, they should have confidence. I think the cameras may not be on them, and that's fine. But let's try to figure out the flow, put all the pieces together, because we see what this team can do.
That's well put. I do want to ask you, I want to provide an update real quick. Stevie texted me. So Underwood called a meeting at 3:30, and we are waiting to see when Luke gets out of that. He will call us as soon as he can. We'll keep you posted on that. So Luke Goody will be joining us at some point before we get out of here. Hopefully the meeting doesn't go too long. You mentioned being there at Mackey. I think it's the best environment in the Big Ten. I think it's been that way at least for the last 5 to 8 years. Illinois, of course, when it's at its peak, I think it's in the mix. Indiana's a great place as well. What do you think of that crowd there in the first half, and then what Illinois was able to do to – you could hear the grumbles there in the second half as Illinois erased a 24-point lead.
Well, I went there to evaluate the arenas. I'm like, does Illinois compare to Mackey? This is going to let me know officially, especially after the Illinois-Michigan matchup. The State Farm Center was electrifying.
It was.
So then you go to Mackey, and even in warmups, we show up like 53 minutes early, and Illinois comes out, and the paint crew is already out there booing this Illinois team. And even when they return with just a few minutes left before tip off, they were still just booing Illinois. So the environment for Mackey was, I think, where it needed to be for that matchup. But Illinois still was able to show up and pull through despite the chance that they're so good. Okay, wait, let me tell a story. Because my kid's father played at Purdue. So I spent 3 solid years being in Mackey, mm-hmm. game in and game out. And I knew that Mackey was an amazing place to play in. However, Illinois has my heart.
Sure.
But with all that being said, I do have to give the sixth man trophy to Mackey Arena.
It's different.
Purdue has never committed a foul, according to the Mackey Arena crowd. That's one thing I've noticed from not even being there.
Well, the refs on Sunday didn't see any fouls either.
Apparently not.
Had to slip that one in there.
Yeah. It's a different place. It was on fire for that game. Even before it tipped, of course, Purdue got to go through the same experience that Illinois had last year. You dropped the confetti, you cut down the nets. It was funny to hear Matt Painter talk about Zach Edey didn't even need a ladder.
I saw a picture of that.
To get his piece in the net as well. I think that's interesting, though. Coming out of that, we experienced it for Illinois last year. Of course, it's a memorable moment. Anybody that was in the building for that last year, and you get to hang a banner and everything. And a Big Ten title is a big accomplishment. But one thing I do come back to for Illinois' standpoint is that we went in saying it was all about the tournament. It was all about Illinois finally erasing what's been a too long of an absence from the Sweet 16. It didn't matter if you won 20 games, whether you won 25 games. Sure, another Big Ten title to win back-to-back would have been a big thing. And I'm not going to downplay that, but I think that there was an expectation that would be pretty difficult for a team that was pretty young, was being pieced together. What I'm getting to is, and I'm not using this just as a cop-out for Illinois, for a team that to this point is still kind of underwhelming expectations, but it's always been about the tournament. If they go on the run to the Sweet 16, everyone's going to be, I think, pretty happy with how this thing turned out, and some of the ups and downs of the ride to get there won't matter as much. Now, if they fall short of that, and I think, Kyle, you brought up a good point of putting yourself in the best position for a run. I think that's what you could ultimately criticize this team of if they do fall short. If they are on that 8-9 line, if they have to play a 1, then you have really nobody but yourselves to blame for not giving yourself a better path, for having the inconsistency, for not figuring out some things and tapping into your full potential. Because if you were a 6 seed, or if you were a 5 seed, then you would have had a much more favorable path to getting to where everyone says, here's the bar of expectation for a team that's this talented, and we haven't been in the Sweet 16 in forever. This has to happen this year. That's kind of the interesting dynamic of judging the regular season. And, of course, it's the eye test, and everybody gets their feel of watching this 31-game sample size. This is where this team's ultimately going to go. I don't know. What do you guys make of – I'll start with you, Kyle. Kind of the evaluation of this season has been about the tournament. But, of course, all we have to go on right now is what we've seen the past 31 games, and that's played into what is a path that is tougher because Illinois hasn't been as consistent as you'd hoped.
Right. I think it's obvious. This team did not do what they were capable of doing in the regular season, especially when you look at this Big Ten. It's not a strong Big Ten. With all the teams that were bunched up yesterday, the fact there was a six-way tie for second yesterday and Illinois finishes 11-9 in this Big Ten, I think can reasonably be said to be somewhat of a disappointment for the talent that's on this team and what we saw early in the season in non-conference play. To go 11-9, finish in seventh, I think it's reasonable to be disappointed by that. Like you said, I don't think anyone will remember where they finished if they make a long tournament run. I just think they've put themselves in a tough spot. Like you said, like to enter the tournament as an 8 seed, and you mentioned they're projected to play Arkansas right now. Like, they might not win the first game. That's a really talented Arkansas. That's the position you're putting yourself in. So, you know, we'll get to fully evaluate the season in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or maybe longer, hopefully. But as of now, you have 31 regular season games to go off of. And listen, 20 wins is nothing to scoff at. 4 straight seasons of 20 wins for Brad Underwood. I'm not saying this team was like a total disappointment or anything like that, but I think Illinois missed a lot of opportunities, especially when you look at the month of February with some of the games that they had chances to win and really didn't get. Illinois' 8 of their 11 Big Ten wins come against the 4 teams playing on Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament this year. So they really, aside from the non-conference, really squandered some opportunities. So I think it's tough to evaluate, like you said, because what we want is a Sweet 16 for this program. I don't know how likely that is. If it happens, then everything I said is really, I don't think anyone will remember it. But Illinois had an opportunity to be better, and they just didn't capitalize.
Kent on the U of I Atlanta League text line, how much different is our tone if we somehow pull out the win yesterday? He also says he was at Mackey last year for the Illinois game, and my ears still hurt. Loudest place I've been in 55 years. I think if you would have pulled out that one or at Indiana without Terrence Shannon, and you could probably put, to a lesser extent, barely, at Iowa at Carver, if you were able to get one of those, that, of course, would be another quad one, because as of right now, your only quad one wins are Texas and UCLA. Michigan State is on the border, and by the end of the Big Ten tournament, that might be another one. But, yeah, if you were able to get that one done yesterday, I think that the tone would be a lot different, because I think it would have been the biggest win of your season. On the flip side of that argument, Mark said in response to Illinois playing its best basketball since February 1st, Illinois is 4-5, and he asks, how are we, if we're playing our best basketball at 4-5, what does that say about this team? Caridi, let me dish it back to you. The Sweet 16 has been what everybody's talked about since the start of this season. How do you make of how we judge this team? How have you approached it? Have you rode the roller coaster up and down, or has it always been about, let's just see what they end up doing in March? Now, we are in March, but to get to the tournament and see if they can live up to everybody's expectations once we get there.
Well, I think I'm missing his name, but who texted in and just spoke to our tone and how our tone would be different considering if they would have walked away with that. I try to never dehumanize players. I just have a heart for the players. So whether it's a good game or a bad game, I try to see it. I try to see it for what it is. And so I'm looking at Matt Myers like, okay, what if those threes would have went in? We would be glorifying Matt Myers, and we would have easily walked away with that win. So I think our tone is important. I think just being realistic is the thing that I try to hold on to, and just seeing these kids as humans is important. But related to the tournament play, because it is March Madness, a word that we've been using as Illinois fans throughout the whole entire season has been consistency, inconsistency, consistent, not mm-hmm. consistent. So my approach, because I just, you know, want to be realistic and get down to the root of things, I pulled up the definition of consistent. And so let's base my response off of that. It's the definition of consistent is acting or done in the same way over time, especially so it is fair or accurate in judgment. Another definition is unchanging in nature, standard, effective over time. And that is exactly what Illinois is struggling with. So I don't think we should speak down on the team, because they do have the tools. They have shown that. But it's the most important part is the consistency. And we're not seeing what we expect to see from this team over and over again. And that, of course, will help us decide on what we think they can do in tournament time. So that's all I'll say. I see the tools that Illinois has, but I don't see the consistency.
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody out there agrees with you. We're still waiting on Luke Goody, Brad Underwood, scheduling this meeting, probably to keep Luke off the air with us, I would imagine.
That's what Lon would theorize.
Well, I will tell you all that I know where Dane and Matt Myers and Terrence Shannon was Friday night because they were at Douglas Center at a tournament, a first string tournament that my kids play in and that I coach in.
Awesome.
And they were able to share a few words just with community members and coaches and kids, kindergarten through fifth grade. Matt Myers had some encouraging words, but he also had a monster in his hand.
Of course.
I thought he maybe would have learned his lesson, but
branding.
I hear that he did get some sponsorship off of that, so he was definitely representing Monsters. But it was cool. We don't have Luke Goody with us now, but the kids were able to have Dane Danger, Terrence Shannon, and Matt Myers right before a huge game. That was huge for the Fighting Illini to come and show up for our community that way.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's something that we don't often think about enough and understand the impact that these guys have in the community, how much they are ingrained and trying to brighten people's day. I mean, how much it had to mean to those kids to see guys that they watch on TV or up in the stands, being able to watch them and look up to them. I know when I was a kid growing up here around Champaign, just how much it meant to just see, oh, an University of Illinois men's basketball player to be here. I know there's
going to be Kevin Warren there, Illinois University.
I know. Dang it, Kyle. I thought I was going to let that slide. You got me. That was well played. But also, like, I think it's cool to see those players at the women's games, yes, too, and show the support between the programs. We should mention Shauna Green's squad. Obviously, beat the brakes off of Rutgers, fell short against Maryland. Selection Sunday, same as the men's, both coming up on the 12th this Sunday, but Illinois should feel pretty good about their position after getting another win there at the Big Ten tournament. They went in projected as a tournament participant, and I think that they should feel pretty confident they will be in that field. So we'll see both for the men and women coming up on Sunday. As we go along, we're still waiting on Luke Goody, but we do want to go through, I'm sure many have seen the bracket for the Big Ten men's tournament coming up this weekend. We'll run through that. We'll talk about the different matchups and Illinois' path. Got to catch a break. We'll see if we can get Luke to join us here soon. Thanks for sticking with us. This is The Drive.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And this is Luke Goody from your men's basketball team.
Luke, it's great to have you back on the floor. We hope to see a lot of you in March.
I was pretty sure we'd get postseason games this year, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Most of us will be glued to the TV for the tournament.
I don't want to watch it on TV.
Wait, what? Oh, you want to be on the floor and see it up close.
I get to watch plenty of basketball. Films of us winning, losing, who we're going to play next.
I bet that footage would be clearer on an LG OLED screen.
I know, right? I saw how great those look in your store.
The LG OLEDs deliver the best picture for the buck.
And they're so flat to the wall.
Yeah, the Gallery Series is a step up. They mount so flat you can't see behind the TV and come with a free 5-year warranty.
That all sounds great, but it also sounds expensive.
Well, you can buy cheap, but you'll buy twice. Get the good one and it'll look great for years. You can even get 0% financing.
My initials are LG. Maybe they want to make a trade. Anyway, I gotta go watch some of that film.
Better you than me, Luke.
If you're in the market for a new car battery, you could go to one of those big box stores, except there's no guarantee you'll be served by an actual car expert.
Clean up in aisle 3.
You could pick a battery off the shelf, except it might be close to expiring. Or you could just come into Interstate. Don't make a big box store blunder. With competitive prices and a more personal, reliable approach, Interstate Batteries is the clear-cut choice if you want to guarantee yourself a new and trustworthy car battery. They're open and ready to serve you at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way. Creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Illini pizza fans, great things come from Jet's Pizza. Detroit-style pizza is one of them. Freshly made dough pressed into steel pans inspired by the Motor City. Topped with premium mozzarella, Mama Jet's secret sauce, fresh toppings, then baked to the thickest, crispiest, cheesy crunch. Want Detroit-style proof? Order Jet's famous 8-corner pizza. It's 8 pieces of crispy, crunchy, and cheesy to the edge pizza. Right now, get $5 off an 8-corner pizza at regular menu price. Online code 8SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Celebrate St. Patty's Day at Opia's all day with 350 pints, $5 for 25-ounce mugs of green beer, George Killian's Irish Red, the Guinness Pug Draft cans. There's $5 drinks for whiskey shots, a flight special of 4 special whiskeys at just $16, plus the Irish nachos and the fish and chips throughout Lent on Fridays. Come watch the NCAA basketball action, grab some green beads, hats, and t-shirts at Opia's, Springfield and Madison, Champaign.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Cleveland. I am a licensed occupational therapist at OSF Healthcare. It's an honor to be a part of a great team helping patients restore participation and meaningful activities of daily living through a personalized therapeutic intervention. OSF Healthcare offers Champaign County outpatient occupational therapy services in our main building of OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center. As an occupational therapist, I am very passionate about helping patients recover from strokes, brain injuries, and upper extremity injuries. One of our unique offerings is helping those diagnosed with Parkinson's to improve their function and confidence in their daily activities through a specialized research-based program called LSVT Big. If you or a loved one could benefit from our occupational therapy services, please call 217-337-2377. For more information, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at kelseyfurniture.com. That's kelseyfurniture.com.
Invested in our community since 1908. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana. Maybe you've attended an event at one of the more than 50 organizations First Federal supported last year. We help make our community a better place, and we invite you to visit us and discover better banking for yourself. Experience the exceptional, friendly service from our knowledgeable staff. Speak with real people, not a recording during business hours. We're never too busy for you. Hey, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try. We think you'll love it here. 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Tay and Piper. still waiting for Luke Goody as the Illini basketball meeting goes on. We'll see if we can get him in today. If not, we will reschedule. Maybe we can make that happen tomorrow, but we will still hold out hope we can fit in Luke Goody before the show is done here in the next 30 minutes. I do have to tell you about Game Day Spirit. This segment brought to you by our great sponsor, Game Day Spirit, two locations, Neal and Green Street. You can also visit them online at gamedayspirit.com. See on their webpage, they got a great assortment of Illini basketball gear. They've got hoodies, they've got t-shirts. I really like the throwback 1990s style t-shirt. I got one of those for my wife for Christmas that she loves. And also some new arrivals. We think about some those really comfy fleece pants you want to walk around in, some long sleeve dry fit, hats, anything, men's, women's, children, basketball jerseys. They got baseball jerseys that are awesome. Even some Chief apparel, Game Day Spirit, any and everything Illini. That is your one-stop shop. Again, Neal Green Street or online at gamedayspirit.com. I do want to get to the Big Ten tournament bracket as it lays out. We'll have games beginning on Wednesday. Ohio State and Wisconsin kicks us off. Now, if you would have went into the season telling people that Wisconsin and Ohio State would be playing Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament, I don't think anyone would have believed you. Those are two teams that were in the mix for a top half finish, if not potentially in the top five, but they will kick things off 5:30 Central on Big Ten Network. Ohio State, the 13 seed, Wisconsin, the 12 seed. Wisconsin almost lost, Kyle, at Minnesota. Did you see any of that one?
I didn't see any of it.
Not that I expected anybody to want to. Appointment television. Let's watch Wisconsin and Minnesota.
They were down 7 at halftime, and I believe it came. I think it was tied with about a minute left, and Chucky Hepburn hit a go-ahead 3 in the final minute there. But Wisconsin, this is what we've wanted for a long time.
It is. Finally got it right. Finally looked at their roster and said, they're not going to be very good.
Fooled us early, right? They were 3-0 when they came into Champaign.
They were ranked, too.
And ranked. I think they were 14th when Illinois beat them here in Champaign. And ever since that point, it's been all downhill for them. And they're still in the mix for the tournament.
Lenardi still has them, I believe, on the last four in line.
Are they really still in?
His last four in, Mississippi State, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Penn State. A 12 seed in their conference is projected in the field as of now.
So beating Ohio State is a must for them, and maybe they don't even have to win another game. That's crazy. I think they probably would have to beat Iowa to safely secure themselves. I find it hard to believe that the 12th place team in the Big Ten can still get in.
Isn't that wild? You look at Michigan, who's the 8th seed in
right.
the Big Ten tournament, not projected in the field and probably need to go on a deep run, if not win the whole thing. Maybe if they get to Sunday. Now, I'll get to that as we look at Thursday. Also, the other game on Wednesday, Minnesota, the 14, against Nebraska, the 11. The Huskers get it done in Iowa
City.
What
a tough day for Iowa. All they had to do was beat Nebraska at home, and they're the 2 seed.
Jeez.
And they lose, and they don't get a double bye. And that's after I was praising them on Friday. I said they're red hot right now. Man.
What is Nebraska doing?
9 wins in conference?
Yeah, I believe so. Is it Tominaga going off? Griesel's played well. All of a sudden, Hoiberg has something cooking there. We'll see if he can sustain it and really take the next step to where
I think they lose quite a bit of this team. I think Griesel's gone. Derek Walker's gone. Tominaga is a senior with the COVID year, so he seems like a guy that would probably – he's going to have a professional career in Japan, which is his home country. I don't know if he would come back. And
maybe he can add that to Kofi's team.
Yeah, there you go.
Kofi playing in Japan. So is Cameron Krutwig. I know someone filled me in that those two did battle
Kofi
over there.
Kofi dunked on him one time. That was like a month ago. There was a viral video of Kofi throwing down like it was like an off-the-dribble dunk where he's sizing a guy up from the free throw line and drives in and dunks, and people were just posting it like, oh, look at Kofi's handles here. And then someone realized, wait a minute, the guy that he did it on was Cameron Krutwig.
Wow.
So that was
unfortunately, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that Krutwig's team beat him.
I think Kofi's team is terrible. Yeah. The last time I checked, he's playing well, but
they could use Tominaga.
Right,
he could play the Alfonso Plummer role.
There you go.
I think that they're pretty similar. As you look to Thursday, Rutgers the 9 seed, Michigan the 8 seed. Michigan took Indiana to overtime. They played back-to-back overtime games.
And lost both.
Lost both. Had a shot to win both. Hunter Dickinson, I was driving home, but I believe took a three.
I saw that one, yeah. So
at the end of regulation, right?
It was a broken play. They were trying to get Jet Howard isolated, which is like, seems to be Juwan's go-to late in games is ISO for his son, which is quite interesting. But it was kind of a broken play. He passed it to Hunter with like 2 seconds left and got an okay look, but it was kind of a scramble and he missed it. And then they had a whole debacle in overtime where Race Thompson missed like 4 straight free throws. He just did not want to end the game. And Michigan had about 5 seconds to get it up court. And Kobe Bufkin threw it off Dickinson's back. He wasn't even looking and didn't even get a shot up. So Michigan, man, to lose both those games, because either one of those games probably gets him in the tournament. Road wins at Illinois or Indiana.
Yep.
They're probably not safely in, but they are at least probably in Lenardi's last four in right now. And to lose both, that's... wouldn't want to be a Michigan fan right now.
Certainly not. And you could also throw in, they've had a number
had a
of
lot.
Those.
Like I saw some stat.
The Indiana game at home where right. they led and ultimately let it slip away. And I think they took like a fadeaway. It was Bufkin that maybe took a fadeaway three.
I think it was
on the
Jet
last,
Howard.
Or maybe it was Jet Howard. Yeah, it was Jet Howard. Good call. And Hunter didn't even touch the ball in the last possession. I don't think they scored the final like 4.5 minutes of that game. So similar to Illinois, different circumstances because Illinois squarely in the field, but we talk about trying to set yourself up on the best path. Michigan trying to just get in there. They've had some heartbreakers late as well, and they will probably be regretting that unless they make some serious noise up there in Chicago. Iowa, the 5 seed, would play the winner of Ohio State and Wisconsin. Illinois and Penn State at 5:30 on Thursday. Maryland is the 6 seed. They will draw the winner of Nebraska and Minnesota. As you look towards Friday, Purdue, the 1 seed, will get the winner of Michigan and Rutgers. Michigan's probably going to have to beat Rutgers, Purdue, and what, win one more and get to Sunday if they want to get in?
I would think.
Or would Purdue be enough?
Because Rutgers' metrics are so good still that I think that's a quad one on a neutral as of now. And then to beat Purdue would be a huge one. I think they probably slot them into the first four with 2. With if they beat Purdue, I think they, depending on a couple of the other bubble teams, I could see that getting them in.
Good call by Darren on the U of I Atlanta League text line. That was actually 3 overtime games in a row for Michigan because they beat Wisconsin in
right.
overtime prior to coming to Champaign. So I wonder how much is left in the tank for Juwan Howard's squad going to Chicago, but obviously they have a ton to play for. I think that's a good call, Kyle, because neutral court top 50 is a quad one game. If you're playing a team within the top 50 of the net, which Rutgers is, then that would be a quad one for Michigan. And then Purdue, obviously, would be a quad one resume type of building game. If they're able to win that. As far as who they might meet in the semifinals, you have Michigan State as a 4 seed. They could possibly draw either Iowa, the 5, or Ohio State or Wisconsin. Michigan State has really climbed up the standings where it wasn't long ago, maybe a week and a half ago, they were bottom half of the Big Ten. They did catch a little bit of a heat wave and could have been in even a better spot had they not been on the other side of one of the wildest comebacks I've ever seen from Iowa in the final 40 seconds there in Iowa City. But Sparty is in a decent spot as a 4 seed. Now, too, Darren had another question. Or another comment, it was actually a question, you know, two-way, you know what I'm saying. Did Michigan State get a break since they only played 19 games in conference? They had the Minnesota game canceled due to COVID. They never made that up. If they would have lost that game, would Illinois have gotten one of the double byes?
It was not a break at all. To not lose out on a game against Minnesota at home is not a break.
They would have been assumed to win that game.
Right, and so it's honestly more impressive that they were able to finish top 4 in this jumbled up race by not getting the Minnesota win, because if that game gets scheduled, I can't see them losing that game. So they finish outright 2nd place in that scenario. So,
oh, if they would have, okay, good call. It wasn't a break because they would have gotten 2nd.
Right. So they actually lost out on 2 seed lines by not getting that game. Assuming they beat Minnesota at home, which I think is a safe assumption.
And if they would have lost, you look at the tiebreakers, Illinois lost a tiebreaker to both Iowa and Maryland. Isn't the way that they work that if there is a tied group, you do the record combined against the rest of that group? So Illinois would have had a combined record of they beat Michigan State but still lost to Iowa and Maryland. I would imagine they wouldn't have been that next team to slot into the four seed.
No, they wouldn't. I think it would be Iowa. Wouldn't it?
Iowa would have two wins at least. Would have beaten both Illinois and Michigan State.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to try to. We're done with
it
that.
It wouldn't have been Illinois.
We're done with figuring out the tiebreaker scenarios.
It would not have been Illinois. So we're good on that front. Again, Michigan State, the four seed. They'll play Friday in the mid-afternoon. Northwestern is the two seed. Yes, that is not an error. Northwestern projected 13th in the Big Ten going into the year. The two seed will get either Illinois or Penn State. Indiana is the three seed. They'll play Friday night against either Maryland or if Nebraska or Minnesota were to advance. We'll break this down as we go along in the week, making our picks and official predictions. But let's look at some of the different paths here. Let's start with Illinois. Number one, the thought of playing Penn State again. What do you make of that third matchup? What does Illinois have to do differently? And do you subscribe to the feeling of surely Illinois won't lose to this team three times?
I feel okay about it. I'm trying to fight that nightmarish, like, oh, this is Penn State. They beat us by double digits twice this year. Because I can't see Illinois. There's nothing about Penn State that presents like an awful matchup to Illinois with how small. Now, I guess with the way they shoot and with Jalen Pickett, but like they're really small. Illinois should be able to really bother them with all the length they have on the floor. And honestly, they should be able to contain Jalen Pickett because they have really good defensive players on this team. When you look at Sincere, Ty, and Terrence, surely one of those guys can stop Jalen Pickett from scoring 41 on you. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't really concerned to see Penn State just with everything that we've seen this year from those two teams. Overall, though, to be honest with you, I like Illinois' draw quite a bit. To see Northwestern on Friday, if you get past Penn State, and give credit to Northwestern, they're good, but you're talking them over in Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, Iowa, like, I'll take that path. And there was a situation where Illinois would have had Indiana on Thursday and Purdue on Friday.
Yes.
You would absolutely subscribe to Penn State and Northwestern over that path. So
had Michigan held on, that would have been the deal. Illinois in the 8-9 against Indiana. And if you were to win that game, I don't think Indiana's a great matchup, than to play Purdue again on Friday.
Yeah. So this is honestly probably once Illinois had lost to Purdue, there were three scenarios. I think it was this one that they got, the Indiana Purdue scenario, and then I think Rutgers and Purdue. Now you can argue that this Rutgers team is on a slide, so maybe you would have preferred that matchup. But taking into consideration that would have been the 11 a.m. tip that this team has proven they cannot show up for, and then you would see Purdue. I almost think this is their best possible path. And really, if Illinois is the team that, you know, that they say that they said in post-game press conference yesterday, uh-huh, and that they said is going to make noise, you don't lose to Penn State on Thursday, and you really don't lose to Northwestern either. So you should be able to get to Saturday if you are who you say you are, and I think they have a good chance to do so.
I have now seen the light on what that meeting is about. How in the world do you stop Jalen Pickett? That's got to be.
You go.
And I think that I like the fact that they have 3 days of prep going into that game. They've seen him twice. There should be no surprises on exactly what Penn State's trying to do with you in the half court, trying to get those switches, trying to open up threes. Illinois did in the middle of that game in State College go in not switching. They obviously have abandoned switch everything since late December, but ultimately decided that we were giving up too many angles on drives, had to switch it. And I think that now that you know what they're going to do, you should be better prepared for it. Now, can you prepare for Penn State knocking down 12, 13, 14 threes or Pickett going off for 40? If they do that again, if there's just kind of that Penn State sees Illinois and it brings out the best in them. And oh, by the way, Penn State really needs this game. They kept their tournament hopes alive by surviving against Maryland. They came back from, what, 15, 16 down in that game?
Cameron Winter hit a crazy game winner that fell right into his lap. He's hit two of those the last week, hasn't he? Just pretty much single-handedly saved.
Was he the one that hit it at Northwestern?
So, yeah, Penn State does have a little bit of that late season magic and juju that you have, where they've hit two game-winning shots here. They were on the bubble, now they're in. There's some things going against Illinois here, but again, Illinois is a better team. They have so much more talent than this Penn State team, and you've seen what's hurt them two straight times, and if you can't adjust in a third meeting, then something's wrong there. Do you think that the Illinois playing that smaller lineup with Coleman at the five is much better equipped to handle Penn State?
Absolutely.
I do too.
I think you have to – I would love to see Ty in this starting lineup. I think RJ's defended pretty well too, so it's not like you're sacrificing a ton defensively.
That's a guy you can put on Andrew Funk and chase him around, and because I think RJ's been really good. He was good on Fletcher Lawyer yesterday and really chasing shooters and not letting him get off of screens. And that's what – he had a tweet yesterday after the game where he was like, can't even fight through a stagger. This is ridiculous.
He had two foul calls in the matter of a second, maybe 3 seconds.
So he's that guy that's fighting through some of those, and I think would be a decent guy to stick on the floor there to try to slow down some of these Penn State shooters.
I personally, though, would love to see Ty on Jalen Pickett from the get-go. I don't think Terrence is a bad matchup against him either. I would like to see size, athleticism to go up against Jalen. Of course, with Penn State, if you are going to switch, they're going to find the guy that they want to – match you up with, but if Jaden Epps isn't on the floor, that takes away kind of the smaller man to attack and get him in a post up. Illinois, there might not be an answer if he's. I know he posted Matthew Meyer pretty well in that game in State College. Really, whatever Jalen Pickett wanted to do, he was able to do with success. But Coleman at the five, he's able to hedge out on ball screens too. He can take away the angle for Pickett if he wants to get in the mid range. They could even switch that. I think you could trap him. If Pickett's going to go like he has been, why not put Hawkins at the five and just trap Jalen Pickett when they present a ball screen and make him get it out of his hands? Yeah, Penn State has shooters to where that can be a problem. Oh, my gosh, the phone is ringing. I think that's
buzzer beater.
I think that's going to be our guy. Let's catch a quick break because we got some commercials to get to. And on the other side, I think that might be – oh, wait, no. The phone call went away. Did Brad hang up? We're still going commercial. Maybe Luke Goody will call us or was calling us. We'll figure that out. Says The Drive.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And this is Luke Goody from your men's basketball team.
Luke, it's great to have you back on the floor. We hope to see a lot of you in March.
I was pretty sure we'd get postseason games this year. That's why I hung in there.
Well, I guess you watch hours of basketball, but what about other sports?
I watch football and baseball, even golf if it's good.
You know, DirecTV's number one in sports programming.
I know they have great sports, but I can't put a dish up at my place.
You have internet, right?
Yeah.
DirecTV streaming gets you more sports than cable for a better price with no contract.
Wait, what? DirecTV's not a satellite?
DirecTV has satellite, but streaming's the thing. It works in apartments and condos wherever there's Wi-Fi.
I can get BTN and the Cardinals?
DirecTV had BTN first, and the networks that carry Cubs and Cards are included in the Choice Plus package. Plans start at $74.99 a month.
Let me guess, I can get DirecTV streaming from Good Vibes.
Nothing gets by you, huh, Luke?
Are you looking for a better job in a dynamic family-owned company? Altamont Company is hiring. Searching for a few great people to join operations in Thomasboro or Rantoul? Altamont offers you a full-time position, not part-time, with available shifts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and Monday through Thursdays, 8 p.m. to 6:30 a.m., offering benefits including health and dental and simple IRA retirement plans. Available jobs at Altamont Company include hand sanders and wood prep. No experience is necessary. Altamont trains on-site. Apply online at altamontco.com. Resumes welcome at hr.altamont@gmail.com. On-site applications available. 901 North Church in Thomasboro. Altamont Company, an equal opportunity employer.
Here's what one shopper said about Pard's Western Shop in Urbana, 306 North Maple, between Main and University.
He said, sure, you can find boots at some big box stores, but nothing like Pard's selections. They're unique, they're local, and they have an excellent store. So many people that visit Pard's in Urbana say the same thing. Pard's in Urbana, 306 North Maple. You can find the best boots in the world and shop local. Visit Pard's.com. Pards.com. If you're looking for a pre-owned car, truck, or van, look no further than Sarah Champagne. You know them for their five incredible vehicle brands, the BMW, Honda, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. But did you know they also have over 100 used cars, trucks, and vans in stock right now? And at Sarah Champagne, they will take care of you. You can trust them. And prices begin at under $2,000. Stop by Sarah Champagne. They're at Burwash and Savoy, or go online, sarahchampagne.com. That's Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, champagne.com.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Winter is in full swing, and at Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, they want to help you upgrade and save. When you buy a Lennox home comfort system, you get a choice. Decide between a free water heater or a $500 Visa gift card. No qualifications necessary, and 0% financing is available. Give Dogtown a call today at 217-841-4728. Schedule a free in-home consultation and take advantage of this great sale. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Can't believe you scared him away, Kyle. We had him on the phone, and he just decided to hang up. I'm just kidding. I don't know who was calling.
That was probably Lon prank calling us from his trip to make you look like an idiot.
Mission accomplished, Lon, if that's you or whoever called me. I don't know. The phone line lit up. Thought it might be Luke, but it was not. Or if it was, he made a quick exit. Anyways, we're going to finish out the show. Got about 6 or 7 more minutes as we roll along. I want to get to some texts that we have not hit yet on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. I know that Keith says, what are you thinking the Illinois seed will be if they can't win against Penn State? As of right now, they sit on the 8 seed line. That would be a quad 2 loss, I believe. I don't think Penn State's the top 50 net. Are they?
I don't think so.
No. Maybe I'd say 9 seed. I don't think you can probably drop to a 10 at this point. I do think maybe you drop down a seed line to a 9. I think you're pretty much in that 8-9 unless you get to Saturday, maybe even Sunday, to try to reach the 7. But otherwise, you're sticking in an 8-9. I know that based on the pecking order of that will determine which 1 seed you're paired with. Like if you're the number 1 8 seed, then you would draw the number 4 1 seed in theory, unless I don't think
they got to shift some things around if you got 2 from the same conference. Right. So it gets a little complicated, but in general,
if you want to dodge, I know that Lenardi still has Kansas as the number 1 overall seed, even though Kansas dropped one to Texas over the weekend. We'll see if Kansas ends up winning the Big 12 tournament. A lot of valuable wins would be baked into winning that one because you still have like a ridiculous amount of teams in that top 20 from that conference. I don't know that Houston's going to have the quality of wins to ultimately be the number 1 overall seed, but they've only lost, what, 2 games all year?
That's right, yes, because they scraped one out against Memphis this weekend.
They did. They did. So I think, do you agree with me? I think if they lose, they're probably a 9.
I would agree. Yeah, I think. It's hard to say, too, because of other teams. Like, if a bunch of teams on the 10 line make runs and jump you. But I would find it hard to believe if they're an 8 today that they would drop 2 seed lines and with 1 loss to a Penn State team who, by the way, is 56th in the net. So if they beat you and then maybe win another game, they could even finish top 50 and it'd be a quad 1.
Be a quad 1, but still not a...
Right, it's not going to...
It would be another... Quad 1 loss. Illinois really needs Michigan State to take advantage of that four seed, win a couple of games, or at least one game, and get into that top 30 to have just one other quad one win other than Texas and UCLA.
They're 31st, so it might just take beating Iowa on
Friday.
Yep. And that might get it done.
Because as of right now, Illinois is 0-8 in quad one games since beating Texas early December.
And they've had plenty of chances.
They've had a lot of chances in there.
I know Brad made a comment yesterday after the game where he was like, how the schedule's played out, we've barely had any quad one games at home, which is true.
It's true. But Indiana was one. We weren't able to get that one.
That's the only one.
At the time, Rutgers was one, but that's fallen off. Michigan State's teetered at times between a one and a two.
But that's not really even, other than like Purdue, Big Ten has what, two teams in the top 30 with Indiana and Purdue, or is Maryland maybe?
I think Maryland might be in there.
So I guess they did avoid the three top 30, or two of the three at home.
You didn't get to play Maryland at home. You didn't get to play Iowa at home. You didn't get to play, quote unquote, get to play Purdue at home. So those would have been opportunities on your home floor to beat teams that would be quad ones, but that's not to say you would be guaranteed to win those games either.
Yeah, I don't know. I just found that interesting.
It's an unbalanced schedule. It's an argument for your resume and why the quad ones aren't there, because that's, I think, the number one thing that the committee looks at is what are the records in the quad one games. Your biggest games of the season against the toughest opponents, and then you factor in going on the road and how tough that is. Where does this team stack up? It's interesting that of the high major teams projected in the tournament right now, Illinois and NC State, who both have two quad one wins, have the lowest amount of quad ones of the high majors that are in the field. But Illinois' two wins are
right,
extremely valuable. So
if Illinois, even if you go back to the UCLA and Texas where they were down double digits against UCLA early in the second half, and they were down by five with under a minute to go against Texas. If they lose one of those two, are they on the bubble right now?
If they lose one of them and they have one quad one win as it currently stands?
They have to be, right? If they had lost one of those two, they would be playing to make the tournament.
Yes, and if they would have lost both, they'd be Michigan right now.
Right. Maybe even below
Michigan.
Maybe
even worse.
They might be below Michigan because Michigan has two quad ones right now, I think.
Interesting.
They do have that loss to Central Michigan, though. That's where it's really killing them.
Yeah. Tim says on the U of I Atlanta League text line, Northwestern, the second place team, isn't a quad one opponent. Yeesh, Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more of a conference problem than a scheduling problem. Like, you have a bunch of quad two teams in this conference.
Yep. I think that's where the funny dynamic, I don't think anybody was wishing for that Indiana-Purdue path, but if you're thinking about best case scenario, if Illinois is going to get hot, who could they beat that would really move the needle of their seed line? If they would have gotten the 8 seed or 9 seed against Indiana, beat Indiana, beat Purdue, there's the real meat on the bone for your quad ones. This situation with Penn State and Northwestern doesn't help you as far as quad one games a ton. But
Northwestern would be a quad one, correct? But it'd be a low end.
You're right. But it's your best path to get to Saturday and have a chance to make some real noise there. I know that someone asked as well on the high end. Let's say Illinois wins the Big Ten tournament. Let's be optimistic as we finish out the show. What's the highest seed Illinois could conceivably get in the NCAA tournament if they won the Big Ten tournament? So that means beat Penn State, beat Northwestern, beat either probably Indiana or Maryland, and then whoever is in that top group of among teams, Purdue, Iowa, Michigan State, Michigan. What do you think? From an 8 seed up to they couldn't reach a 5, could they?
I definitely don't think they can reach a 5.
Six?
I'd almost be skeptical that they could get all the way up to a 6. Because, one, I just don't know how much. Like, in years past, conference tournaments have mattered a lot for bubble teams in terms of if you can get this one more signature win. I don't know how much they matter for the teams that are safely in. I don't know if it's making a huge difference. I guess in that situation you'd be getting, what, 3 quad one wins technically if you beat Northwestern, Indiana, and Michigan State, Iowa, Purdue. would all be quad one. So I guess they could get to a six. That's the ceiling, though. There's no way they're getting to a five and with the Big Ten, because the Big Ten doesn't have a Kansas or a
right.
Any of those teams are like, oh, this is a
Texas,
massive,
Baylor.
Right.
Right.
So
I'd be curious what Iowa's net ranking was last year before going in. We'll have to do that maybe later in the week, but they ended up being a five seed after winning the Big Ten tournament last year. We'll have a handful of days before Illinois and Penn State on Thursday to break this whole thing down, the matchup, the bracket. Lon will be back on Wednesday to join us and get his thoughts, not only on the Florabama, but the Big Ten tournament.
His Salukis didn't quite get it done weekend.
No, and Bradley got hammered by Drake, they did. Unfortunately. So, no one to thank, but I will thank Kyle Tosk. I will thank Curtia Shelby for joining me today. Enjoyed it. Thank you for everybody listening out there. Everybody have a great night. Enjoy this beautiful